The Old Testament lesson is from the prophet Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools. And I will lead the blind in a way they do not know, in paths that they have not known. I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. They are turned back and utterly put to shame, who trust in carved idols, who say to metal images, "You are our gods." Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of the Lord? He sees many things, but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. The Lord was pleased for his righteousness' sake to magnify his law and make it glorious. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the 5th chapter. For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before, as a beggar, were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some say, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees a man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? Then how does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He'll speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? And they reviled him, saying, You are his disciples, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. Jesus said, For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, Are we also blind? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. This is the gospel of the Lord. I want to read from Scripture first to sort of set the background. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? So the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. I was there, you know. It was such a joyous occasion. My son cut some palm branches off one of the trees lining the road, and we spread them out before him as he came towards Jerusalem. It was easy to get caught up with the emotion. The crowds gathered quickly at the news that the Nazarene was coming, and we had all heard about him. He was reported to have performed many great miracles. He is even said to have raised a little girl and a man from the dead. This must be the Messiah that the priests kept telling us about. The whole city was stirred. About 100,000 people were there shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the Messiah born of the line of David. I don't know what happened. It all seemed so strange. He was only here in Jerusalem a few days, and everything changed. Several days after the great parade, I was home, waking up my children when my cousin Lydia ran by. My cousin had been there to see one of the miracles. You see, she was a servant for the household of Jairus, a Roman centurion. She told me that she had seen Jesus bring Jairus' daughter back to life. Anyway, she grabbed me and told me the news. Jesus had been arrested and was appearing in Pilate's palace even as we spoke. A thousand thoughts were rushing through my head as we ran through the streets of the palace. And as we entered the courtyard, I frantically looked around. I finally saw him. He was up on the balcony and Pilate was speaking. I didn't know what was happening. The crowd seemed angry at Jesus this time. Everybody was shouting to crucify the Nazarene and to release another prisoner instead. He must not have been the Messiah I thought he was. I guess that's why I joined in the shouting, Crucify him, crucify him. Well, the crowd was getting out of control and I couldn't find Lydia anywhere. We'd gotten separated somehow, and since I was near the back of the courtyard, I slipped out and headed home. I needed to get back to my children. But it all seemed so strange. I stopped and leaned against the wall. Nothing seemed to make any sense. My head was spinning. I knew of the miracles Jesus had performed, and I really believed that my cousin had seen him raise her master's daughter from the dead. I even had watched this Jesus and had seen some of the wonderful things he did and said. I don't know why I turned against him in the palace. Nothing seemed to make sense to me. And now I stand here watching him up there on the cross. It's my fault that he's here now. I didn't mean to do it, Jesus. I didn't mean to. Okay, the second scripture to set the stage for Shelley comes from Mark chapter 14, verses 66 to 72. Now, as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are saying." And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them." But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." A second time the rooster crowed, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he thought about it, and he wept.
"I was a servant of the high priest in Jerusalem. I might have been nothing more than a servant, but because of my master, I had status. I had power. And let me tell you, the night that Jesus of Nazareth was arrested, I thought I could make a name for myself from what I saw. None of you would even remember me if it weren't for that night they arrested Jesus. I thought I could move up just a bit in status. I had no idea at the time that I would be remembered for that night. I knew from the high priest that they really wanted to get rid of Jesus, and now they had him in their courts. The tone was such that they really were out to eliminate everything about him, which included his disciples too. Sure, I had heard stories of Jesus. He sounded like a great person. I mean, with all the healings and things. But I didn't know him, and he had never done anything for me. They say he was the Son of God, but what was that to me? What good would that do for me? All I knew was that I was a servant, and the people to whom I answered wanted this Jesus out of the picture. So when one of his disciples showed up at the fire we had going outside the courts of the high priest, I was sure they would treat me well if I handed over another one of them. Aren't you one of them? I said. You also were with Jesus, the man from Nazareth. Of course he denied it. I shouldn't have said anything to him. I should have just gone and gotten the temple guards, who would have arrested him on the spot. At least, I think they would have. Although, well, a part of me wanted to know more about Jesus, and in a way, I had hoped that he was one of his disciples. I guess that even if he was a disciple, and even if they did arrest him too, I probably wouldn't have gained anything by being the one who turned him in. I guess I always knew that to be the case. After all, I am nothing but a servant girl, and will probably always be nothing more than that. All the things I have heard about Jesus, I wonder if they are true. If they are, I wonder why our leaders want him dead. I wonder if he would have helped me, too, like they say he helped so many others. I think they have arrested him for the wrong reasons.
The first woman, you know, the part that I read, it was fictional. She's not in the Bible. Somebody who had been at Palm Sunday and then at the palace crucify him. But what did she do wrong in just that little bit, what she claims to have seen and done? Yeah, she went along with the crowd. Exactly. The crowd was all happy he had arrived in Jerusalem. Then the crowd was yelling, "Crucify!" And that woman in that little fictional narrative there, she went with whatever way the crowd went. She didn't really know why. All right? Now, the part that Shelley read, what was her motives for what she was doing? And I mean, that's being read in, that's put into, try to get it in English. Scripture doesn't explain her motives. Okay? But what was her motives for trying to turn Peter in? More status, more power. All right? She thought she could score some so-called brownie points. Now, I got a question about her. How did she recognize Peter? It dawned on me today when I was going through this again. How did she recognize Peter? This is in the days before CNN and Fox. I know this sounds terrible, but you put somebody in a robe and a tunic with hair, most of them had black hair and a beard, you know, they all kind of look alike. All right? I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but how did she know that was one of the disciples? They said he had the accent of a Galilean, and I've always accepted that as why. But this is the Passover. They had Jews from all over Israel there, so there would have been a lot of Galileans there. I don't know. It's just something that struck me. I didn't really understand the why. Maybe she had seen Jesus' miracles and had seen Peter there. I don't know. I'm just purely speculating on that part. Now, good old Peter in this story. This is probably Peter's lowest point in his entire, in all the Gospels, the lowest point. What does Peter do wrong? Denies him. Three different times. And the end, it said he swore. In other words, he was taking an oath to God he didn't know Jesus. The Old Testament is very clear about making an oath to God and breaking it. All right, so Peter knew exactly what he had done. Now, we had Judas a few weeks ago. Judas betrayed Jesus. Peter betrayed Jesus. But what's the difference between the two? Yeah, Peter was sorry for what he did. All right? It appears that Judas was not sorry for what he did. He just wished it hadn't happened that way. And that's when he tries to return the coins. He's trying to undo what he did. But he never actually says to Jesus that he was sorry. Peter repents of what he's done. And it's interesting, after the resurrection, several times Jesus says to somebody to give a message to the disciples, tell Peter and the disciples. Why would Jesus have worded it that way? Tell Peter and the disciples. Why not just tell my disciples? Yeah, Peter's the main disciple. He's also the one that betrayed him and wanted everybody to know Peter's still one of the 11. You know, there's a difference between Peter and Judas. Peter repents of his sin. Now, what's the difference, all right, between a Christian and a non-Christian? Pardon? We repent of our sins. Exactly. All right? We know who Jesus is, and we repent of our sins. A non-Christian never really repents of his sins before God because he doesn't believe in God. Now, you put these two witnesses together, I think there's some certain similarities. But also notice where it was going was the cross. Jesus' work of salvation ends at the cross. All right? And in both of those, did you notice something? Both of the women sort of came to that knowledge. The one, he was arrested for the wrong reasons. All right? And then in the first one that I read, all right, even she realized that what she did put him on the cross. Did you ever think about that? It's our sins that put him on that cross? Just think about that one for a moment. On that cross, he died for the entire sins of the world. And he knew everybody who was to come. We were in his mind. He was thinking about us when he went to the cross. It wasn't about, like Shelley's character, all about her, what she could get out of it. Jesus went to the cross for us. Suffered everything that he suffered, and that was for us. Wow. Amazing God. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.